Ramsey TV.
Just a little more on this topic, ladies and gentlemen, if you will indulge me. There are always new facets coming out as the classic Christian arguments come up again, forcing me to review everything and think it all through in my mind. And as I do, like I said, just new facets, new angles, new glories of how amazing this whole production is and how God wrote it ahead of time, and it's so sure and it's so amazing that we are all players in it. What an honor. What an honor to be in this production. Welcome again to MZTV. I am Martin Zender. I got a heck of a show for you on Friday to end the week. I'm going to go to one of the biggest verses in Scripture, Romans 11:36. I mean, this verse takes care of everything. There's a certain way you need to look at it, because Paul's argument here is logical. It's airtight concerning the word all. So I'm going to get to that on Friday, but for now, today, I want to hit this stage thing, because to me this is such a perfect analogy. Whenever you're talking about a stage, you're talking about a production, and I love the definition of a stage. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 4:9. I am going to rejoin our lady there at the theater. Remember the one who rushed the stage because she became so upset over evil. Paul uses the word theater in 1 Corinthians 4:9. Before I tell you how he uses it, I want to read you the definition in the concordant version. It's so good. A place so arranged that many can place their eyes on one point. Many can place their eyes on one point. And this earth is the ultimate stage. This earth was created for a purpose, and that is for the ultimate showdown between good and evil. People often wonder, if is this the only place where there are human beings? Well, yes, because God is the Savior of all humanity, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, here. And He came one time, says in Hebrews, came once for the taking away of sins. And where did He come? He came here. And so this ground upon which you're standing is hallowed ground, because the earth was set apart by God for the ultimate showdown between good and evil, which occurred at the cross. When our Lord Jesus Christ took on all the sovereignties and authorities of wickedness among the celestials and Satan himself, and He proved once and for all that good and love and sacrifice is superior to evil. But good conquers evil not by might nor by power, but by spirit. And the best way to prove that was to make the man who was in the battle with Satan, to put him in the most compromised position possible, to nail him to a cross so securely that he could not even swat the flies from his face. It had to be seen so completely that it is spirit, not flesh, not human strength, that overcomes It's spirit that has the power. How could you demonstrate that any better than a man nailed to a cross, naked, despised, abandoned by his own family and even some of his friends? And from there, he despoils principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. How do you do that from there? It's the power of God, the power of spirit, which is the greatest force in the universe, and the power of love. Love conquers all. Not armies, not tanks, not nuclear bombs, but love. And this is not theoretical, folks, because, as you know, the crucifixion of Christ was as real as can be. It was not done in a corner. And we are being called behind the curtain, and we are being shown secrets, such as the one I just told you, that the earth is a stage for the showdown between good and evil. And we are players on the stage. We're part of it. God is calling us into his family, members of the body of Christ, to work with him in the future oncoming eons, to conciliate the beings, the evil, malevolent spiritual beings, very ones who put him on the cross. You know, when Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do," I have a feeling this is just me now. I mean, we always think of he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the people who actually nailed him to the cross. But these human actors were impelled from without. And it is these spiritual beings of wickedness that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6 among the celestials that impelled the players on the earth. For Paul says, again in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against sovereignties, authorities, world mights of this present darkness. And we are lights in the darkness. The darkness hasn't changed. It's just gotten darker. If you can believe that, since the time of Christ, it's gotten darker and darker. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, "For I suppose that God demonstrates with us, the last apostles, as death-doomed." Here's Paul teaching these secrets of the cross. And as he walks the earth with his friends, the few handful of people who worked with him, they all consider themselves death-doomed. Paul says, "The world's crucified to me, I'm crucified to them. We're nothing." But he says this, "For we became a theater to the world and to messengers and to humans." To the world and to messengers. I suppose the people looked at Paul and they thought he was crazy. Do you remember what Festus said when Paul was on trial? He said, "Paul, your great learning has driven you mad." Paul was a curiosity for sure. I'm sure people thought he was crazy for, quote, giving up the Pharisaic lifestyle. The guy was living in the upper echelon of attainment of in Judaism. I mean, he was top dog. And I'm sure it looked that he just to everybody like he just gave it up. They thought he was nuts. Next thing you know, he's getting beaten in different cities. He's getting stoned, shipwrecked. What happened to Paul? He became a theater. And yet, what does the guy do? Just plods along, keeps his eyes straight, keeps heralding the message, opportunely and inopportunely. But the shocking thing here is not only was he and his little gaggle of helpers a theater to humans, but a theater to messengers. These are the celestial beings, or Concordant translates Angelos, the Greek word that's commonly translated angels. They translate it messengers, because that's the actual root meaning, those who bring tidings. And they are watching us. They are watching this production very closely. You know, when Paul says in Romans 8 that the creation has a premonition concerning the sons of God, and the premonition is that we, as members of the body of Christ, are the linchpin. We're the next big thing that is going to change everything for them. Our deliverance from these bodies of corruption is the spark that sets the whole reconciliation plan in motion. Because not until we are changed is Christ complete. I've given you that verse before in Ephesians chapter 1, might be chapter 2. Read both chapters of Ephesians. You'll find it. I don't want to go there now. I really should, because it's amazing. You can't think about it enough. You can't work at appreciating it enough that we complete Jesus Christ, that he is incomplete without his body. He's the head of the body. The analogy, again, is the human body. And so he is waiting for us more, I believe, if you can believe this, I believe it. He's waiting for us more than we're waiting for him, because he is anticipating this work. He wants to get on with it, but he's not going to do it until Christ is completed. And Christ is not completed until he is joined by his body. He didn't have to do it this way. He could have sucked up all the glory for himself. But for the same reason that God created Christ, that is, for spiritual fellowship, and for the same reason really God created everything, the celestial beings and even humanity, for fellowship, Christ now wants fellowship also. So it's like he's looking to his Father and saying, you know how you created me because you were all alone and you wanted an image and you wanted fellowship? God said, yes. Well, I want to do that with other human beings. And he does. He wants friends. He wants people working with him. For the earthly branch of his ministry, he called the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, his intimates. For the body of Christ, he also calls intimates. We are the disciples, the apostles of the body of Christ. So Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee, and he called the men. He went to the tax collector's office. He called men. He called these, what the earth would consider the lower class of society, and he told them his secrets. Because it delights God, as you know, to choose the humble things, not the exalted things. And so he's doing the same with us after his resurrection and glorification. He's doing the same with us in this day and through the ages, really, from the time of his glorification and his calling of Paul. He's doing the same thing with us for the celestial world that he did with Peter, James, John, Andrew, and all those guys on the earth. It's the same thing. He's calling out a people. Their work is to reconcile the earth to God. Our work is to reconcile the heavens to God. Because these are the two realms, folks, and there's no other realms, heaven and earth, right at the dawn of God's revelation to us. He creates the heavens and the earth. If you really only need two scripture verses and you got everything ramped up. And it's Genesis 1:1 and Colossians 1:20. Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. Colossians 1:20, through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things to him, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. There it is. The whole Aeonian plan is wrapped up in two verses. Genesis 1:1, Colossians 1:20. The heaven and the earth created, the heaven and the earth reconciled. A lot of heartache in between. Long time in between. But God is not slack concerning his promises. And don't you think this is interesting theater to the celestial world? Oh yeah. What else do they have to do? Yeah, well, yeah, probably a lot, but they're fascinated by what's going on down here. We're famous to them. Your friends think you're crazy. And yet we are the darlings to these celestial beings, to whom we are a theater. Starting with Paul, the first member of the body of Christ. The last member of the body of Christ is slated to come in. I don't know who that is. If you want to bring him in, please herald the evangel, opportunely and inopportunely. Get the evangel right. The death of Christ for sin, his entombment and his resurrection. Get it right. Herald it. And then the last person that's designated for that place of a son, a member of the body of Christ. That's it. There's a finite number. I've told you this is still shocking when you hear it, but there's a finite number of people in the body of Christ. It's not some eternal, numberless, indistinct, vague, cloudy, misty. No, it's a certain number of people. It's an actual number. God works in numbers. Don't know how many. A lot. Through the ages. Not a lot alive now, because we're the survivors. 1 Thessalonians, those who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. Sometimes some people, well, people have told me, I'm barely surviving down here, Martin. That's good enough. You're surviving? Great. Christ is coming for those who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. Congratulations. You're surviving. I like it. Keep doing it. So we had this woman rushing the stage. If you haven't heard that show, go back a couple days. And when the time is right, God calls honest seekers behind the curtain. Now, he doesn't do that to everybody. He did it to his disciples when he was on the earth. He did it to Paul after he was glorified. And Paul then wrote 13 letters detailing the whole plan given to him, not by Peter, but by Christ. Peter heard a whisper of this stuff, and he went, huh? What? Huh. Okay, you do your thing, Paul. We'll give you the right hand of fellowship, but not sure exactly what you're talking about. Paul said, that's okay. Just get us a good start here. And that's what happened. So as it turns out, as I said, the earth is just a giant stage. So everything I told you about this hypothetical theater where this woman is watching the action, she's upset by the evil on the stage, and she rushes the stage, tries to slap around the antagonist, and she's taken backstage. Backstage, again, it's a great analogy, I think, because the earth is a stage. It's just bigger. The lighting scheme is a little bit more sophisticated. Most of the actors don't even know they're in a giant pre-scripted stage production. That's about the only difference, really, between this stage production of Earth and a regular stage Broadway production or a film. All the actors know they're in it. They're hired to do it. They study a script. So that's a big difference, is that few people on Earth, they're just struggling. People are struggling, trying to get by, trying to raise their kids, taking their dogs for haircuts and going to soccer games. They're just trying to survive. They don't realize that they're in a giant pre-scripted stage production. The earth is a big stage. Isn't it weird that they don't realize that? Because they're so narrow-sighted. They're just like little gophers, like, you know, just like a little beavers chomping on the wood and trying to build their little dams, trying to build their damn dams. That's it for most people. But God says to us, pss, pss, hey, you want to hear how big this is? Woo me? Is it big? Huh, yeah. You want to hear about it? Yeah, sure, why not? I think that's probably what the disciples said when Jesus said, come, follow me. They look around and go, oh, yeah, why not? I'm not really crazy about my job anyway. Let's do this. And the amazing thing is that some people do get called backstage. And you, listening to me now, are one of them. Like this woman, you have freaked out at some of the more staggering situations and developments of life, right? You have. I have. Big questions we have. Why am I here? How does this whole thing end? And if you're born to seek, you're born to seek. And you've sought answers to the point of bum-rushing the stage like this lady did. That's good. God likes aggressive people. He likes people who's like, I got to have the truth no matter what. God loves that. See, God gave me that disposition as well. He gave it to you too. It's like, you have to know. That was the, remember in 1979 when I saw that Jesus of Nazareth play? I saw him on the cross. It was so real. Great actors. There was a stage production for you. Those people knew they were in a stage production. I didn't know at the time that I was too. I was moved to tears. I went in my room and I just said, I have to know you. I have to know you. I have to know you. And I became a pain in God's ass ever since then. Gotta know. I gotta know. You know? It's just, you can't help yourself. And so the beautiful thing is, I mean, God made us to desire this because there's no one seeking God, no, not one, Romans 3:11. So how are we ended up, why are we so hungry to know? Because God put the desire in us. Deep calls unto deep. So that call has led us here. And so we've made such a stink about it that the theater manager, i.e. God, called us back, finally called us back to stage, just like he did to this hypothetical woman. So in my analogy, she gets called back. Well, no, she doesn't get, she rushes the stage. Somebody takes her away, takes her off. Like, don't, you're getting too involved here. And it's like, don't freak out. There's a reason all this is happening. So she, nobody else had this interest. Nobody else had the passion. Nobody else was so moved emotionally. And she did make a fool of herself at first, like we do. Tries to beat up the actors. Well, this lady, you know, calm down. God calls her back and he says this to her. And this is what he says to us too. It's a play. It's a play, love. It's not really a life and death struggle, you see. It only appears that way for the purpose of the drama. Now see, I want you to apply this not only to that hypothetical situation, but to the big stage of life. This is the big stage of life now. It only appears, but when you find this out, oh, it only appears to be a life and death struggle. It only appears that way for the purpose of the drama, for the purpose of education. It's all been written and cast ahead of time. Because as I said to you, I'm speaking to you now, the stage productions of Earth, the movies, Broadway, novels. This is man making something similar to what God has made on the big scene, on the big screen. So the director says, we already know who's going to win. And here's your part in the drama, my dear. See, here it is. You're supposed to be back here behind the curtain at this exact juncture of the production. And it's already pre-written into the script that you're going to have the whole scheme, not only of this play, but of life, explained to you. See, I want you to look at the big stage now, my dear. Check out the lighting. Check out the lighting of this stage called life. The sun is our primary ambient source. The moon provides us nice bounce lighting. Many people have written songs about it. The stars are our fill lighting. Many people have written songs about them. And they use the stars to navigate around the great stage. We've got the lighting hung up nice and orderly, like, as you can see. Not one star is out of place. Not one planet is out of place. Not one galaxy is out of place. And we've got the soundtrack constantly running in the background, animals, the insects, the thunder of the afternoon rain shower, the babbling brook. Makes a nice backdrop to some critical dialogue that really advances the plot. In fact, all the dialogue of this production is critical. Not one wasted word ever gets spoken by any player on the stage of life, if you can believe that. But I'm telling you, it's true. Oh, and speaking of dialogue, here's the script, and let me show you how it ends. Do you remember? The woman was so distraught that the playwright and the director had to show her the script to show her how the whole thing ended, so she could then go back, join the action in progress, and be comforted knowing the end. And I gave you the end of this great production of life. I'm going to give it to you again. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. For God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and it is this. He purposes in his sovereign will that all human history shall be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. So this verse is now given to this woman who was called backstage. There now, can you handle it better now? Actually, my son and I, we enjoy showing you all this. Not everyone gets the curiosity bug. Actually, we've selected relatively few to give the secret to during this part of the play, though everyone eventually sees it in the end. They eventually see what you just saw. Everybody will eventually see that. The end of the play, the end of this drama. It's on the final page of the script. You saw it. We love showing off the production aspects. It's quite detailed, this drama. Most are staggered to learn how involved it is, how intricate. In fact, how involved we are in every aspect. After all, how many productions have 8 billion actors and actresses? And those are just the ones who are alive now. This is not including the extras, that is, the animals, the birds, the insects, who must each be in their proper places at the proper times. Every single player is important. You know, some Earthlings have called silly the supposition that the flap of a butterfly's wing in Brazil can set off a cascade of atmospheric events that weeks later spurs the formation of a tornado in Texas. You call it, the butterfly effect. Well, hold on to your hat, love, because it's true. You think it's easy making sure that everything is in the right place at the right time? Well, actually, it is. But never mind that for now. Return to your seat. But it's all different now for you, yes? You may be smoking fewer cigarettes. Could be. But really, thanks for freaking out there. We knew you would, of course. You freaked out at just the right time, naturally. See, look, it's in the script. Page 466,798,786,223,490. That's the page number of the script here. Quote, Jill freaks out at all the evil in the world and rushes the stage. This is interpreted, still quoting now from that page, this is interpreted as an inquiry as to the meaning of life, at which point Jill is beckoned backstage and shown the whole plan. Be at peace now, love. I'm never far away. This is for you. And this is for me. To know that this production is on schedule, it's on time, it's perfect, every single player, including the extras, are where they are supposed to be. Each page of the script can be shown to any one of you at any time, if you want to know. Every day of the Onian Times has been scripted, and every action of every day of every player in the Onian Times has been scripted. And the ending has been known for a long time, because the ending was written at the beginning. And nothing can go wrong, because we planned it perfectly, down to every detail, every light, every prop, every word of dialogue. And folks, it's the only way it can happen is if God, the author, the ultimate script writer, the ultimate playwright, has designated all things beforehand. And this he has done. So now you can go back to your lives, go back to your responsibilities in life, maybe a little lighter, maybe a little happier, maybe a little more joyful, knowing that this thing is locked down. And the ending of pure happiness, pure bliss, pure joy, being with God for eternity is guaranteed, not only for you, but for all.